Omar Rava, we're going to start on Samach Amid Beis, two lines before the end of the Amud. Now, just to review what we did before, so we know where Rava's statement is coming in, we have a case which is called Kolsa Midaso Bechatzi Ha'ir. And he measures the 2,000 Amma from the place where he left his set up his Erev Tchumen, and the 2,000 Amma finishes in the middle of the city. And in such a case, we have a statement of Rav Idi in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that will only allow him, therefore, to walk half the city. And we don't consider the city as Dalet Amos. So that if, let's say, in the middle of the city, that's the end of his 2,000 Amma, that's the maximum boundary that he's allowed to go, not beyond. Even though there's another half of the city towards the, we'll call it towards the east. Amar Rava, Travayu, Tnaninu, these laws will derive from the Mishnah. Why? The Mishnah says back on Daf Samach Aleph, which again for us it's back, but here it's fast forward. Anshe Ir Gdola Mahalchin is Kol Ir Ktana. You have two cities that are proximate one to the other. One is a larger city, the other is a smaller city. And the smaller city is within 2,000 Amma. That's how close it is to the larger city. And we're going to treat and define or consider the smaller city as 4 Amos. And we're not going to define the width of the smaller city as part and parcel of the measurement of 2,000 Amma. The entire city is considered as one. And now we're going to turn to Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Ein Anshei Ir, but in the other direction, Mehalchin is Kol Ir Hagdola. It only goes in one direction, meaning the Anshei Ir Hagdola will get the entire city of the Ir Haktana, but the Ir Haktana, when they calculate their 2,000 Amma from their Eruv, they're not going to be able to consider the entire city, the Ir Hagdola, as one entity of Dalet Amos. My timer. Lav mishum dahani kolsa midosam v'chatzir ha'ir, v'hani kolsa midosam v'sof ha'ir. The difference between the two cases, according to this suggestion, is that whereas in the case of calculating 2,000 Amma from the largest city to the smallest city, you encompass the entire small city. But going the other way around, when you're measuring 2,000 Amma from the small city to the largest city, you're going to end up in the middle of the largest city. So it's only in a case of Kolsa Midasa B'Sofa Ir, which is the case of the Ir Haktana, then we consider the entire city as Arba Amos. But if it's Kolsa Midasa B'Chatzia Ir, which would be the case of calculating and measuring the 2,000 Amma from the small city into the largest city, you end up halfway in the middle of the largest city, then the city is not defined as Arba Amos. And this is a support for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who made a distinction between Kolsa Midasa B'Chatzia Ir and Kolsa Midasa B'Sofa Ir. And all this, the Gemara is arguing, is clear from the Mishnah itself. And Rav Idi himself, after he quoted Rav Yeshua, he had called it Divrei Nevius, like as if Rav Yeshua ben Levi had no basis for it. But on the contrary, we see clearly that we can derive this conclusion of Rav Yeshua ben Levi from the Mishnah of an Ir Gdola and an Ir Ketana. So now the Gemara wants to know, why did Rav Idi believe that Rav Yeshua ben Levi had no source whatsoever? It was Divrei Nevius. Rav Idi Anshei Tani. He had a whole different girsa in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph. He didn't have the girsa that Rava had, but Ein Anshei Ha'ir Haktana Mahalchin is Kol Ha'ir Hagdola. His girsa was the Anshei Ir Ketana Mahalchin es Kol Ir Gedola. That the Anshei Haktana are allowed to consider the entire city, the whole large, large metropolis as one Dalet Amos. Umukim le bin nosen. And Rav Idi assumed that the Mishnah was referring to a case where the Eruv Tchumen of the Ir HaKtana was placed not in the Ir HaKtana, but rather in the Ir HaGdola. And in that sense, the law is the same for both Ir HaGdola and Ir HaKtana. In other words, if the Anshei Ir HaKtana place their Eruv inside the Ir HaGdola, then the entire Ir HaGdola is considered 4 Amos. And then we're going to calculate 2,000 Amma from the outer circumference of the Ir HaGdola. Avol Modeid Lo Tnan, but this din of a person where he's only measuring, but he did not put his Eruv into that city, Rav Idi didn't have that in the Mishnah. And therefore we cannot derive from that Mishnah that there's a difference between Kol Samidos of a Sofia or Kol Samidos of a Chatzir. That's why Rav Idi said about Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Divrei Nevius. The Gemara comes back and asks another kash v'lo. V'atnan, what about the Seifa of that Mishnah on Samach Aleph? It says, Ulamodeid Sha'amru Nostin Lo Alpayim Amo Shafilu Sof Midosa Kol Abimah'ara. If a person calculates 2,000 Amma from the place where he was Kona Shvisa, and the 2,000 Amma terminate in the middle of a cave, he's not allowed to move within the cave anything further. He is bound by the 2,000 Amma. We're not going to say that the whole Ma'ara, this whole cave, is defined as 4 Amos. That would certainly prove, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that Kolsa Midasa B'chatzah Ir, if his 2,000 Amma measurement ends in the middle of a city, we're not going to consider the city as one whole 4 Amos. And now we understand why. Now we again don't understand why Rav Idi described Rav Yeshua ben Levi as Divrei Nevius, when certainly Rav Yeshua ben Levi's halacha of Kolsa B'emtza Ir can be derived from the Mishnah. And the Gemara answers, yeah, you're right. We could derive from the Mishnah that Kol Samidos B'chatzir Ir, it's not considered Arba Amos. He'll only get 2,000 Amos from the outside of the city. But Sofa Ir, Itzrich Le Delot Nan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wanted to teach us that Kol Samidos B'Sofa Ir, if his 2,000 Amos end at the end of the city, then we consider the city as Arba Amos. And therefore we're going to give him another 2,000 Amma beyond the city. And that din was not clarified in the Mishnah. And therefore Rav Idi said, Divrei Nevius. So again, Rav Idi's comment about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was not that he was making up halacha from nowhere, but rather he was clarifying something that doesn't exist in the Mishnah. Omar Rav Nachman, man ditani. Anshe. If you have the gears of Anshe Ir Mahalchides Kol Ha'ir Gedola, that was the original gears that we had, that Rava had, Lo Mishtabesh, he's not making a mistake. Uman de Tony, and even if you have a different gears of Ein Anshe Ir Haktana Mahalchides Kol Ha'ir Gedola, Lo Mishtabesh, that's also not a mistake. And the Gemara is now going to clarify this comment of Rav Nachman. How is it that we could have both gears and accept them both, and there's no contradiction between the two? Mandatani, if you had the text of our Mishnah as Anshi or Ketanah Rasham Lelech as Kol Ir HaGdola Lo Mishtamesh Dimukim Le Bin Nosein Eruv HaBir HaGdola, why is it that we give the Anshi or Ketanah the entire city of the Gdola as if it were 4 Amos? It's because he placed his Eruv there in that great city. Mandatani ein Anshei Ir HaKtana Malchim is Kol Ir HaGdola, that the Anshei HaKtana could only go as far as their 2,000 Amma will take them in the Ir HaGdola, but not beyond, and it's not called Dalet Amos. Lo Mishtabish, that's not a mistake to Mokim La, because that's a case of Bimodeid, a person who's Kona Shvisa in the Ir HaKtana, in his local small city. And now he's calculating and measuring 2,000 Amma into the Ir HaGdola. And since he was Koveh Shvisa in his Irak Tana, he didn't set up his Erev in the Irak Dola, then we don't consider the Irak Dola as four Amos. He's not allowed to go to the end of the Tchum of, beyond the end of the Tchum of Alpayim Amo, the Chisuri Mechsev Achitoni, and we should clarify the Mishnah by adding a few words. Anshe Ir Gdola Malchin is Kol Ir Gdana Haktana. Why? Because since the entire city, the Iraktan itself, from beginning to end, is included in the 2,000 Am around the circumference of the Irak Dola, is therefore the entire small city is considered vis-a-vis the Irak Dola as Dalet Amos, being Anshe Iraktan Malchin is called Irak Dola, but in the reverse case, since the Irak Dola is not Muvlas, it's not swallowed up in the 2,000 Am of the Iraktana, therefore, the Iraktana has to calculate 2,000 Amma, and wherever it ends, that's where their Tchum Shabbos ends. Bamedvar Amurim Bimodet Aval Misha Hoya Be'ir Gdola V'niyachas Eruv Iraktana. Oh, Hoya Be'ir Gdola V'niyachas Eruv Iraktana is Ma'alchas Kula V'chutzala Arba Alpayim Amma. But if he put his Eruv in the other city, no matter which way you go, then he's Konash Visa throughout the entire city. The entire city is considered Arba Amos. Omar Av Yosef. Omar Rami Bar Abba. Omar Av Huna. Ir Shiel Sheves Al Sfas HaNor. We spoke in the past about seashore cities. Actually, we spoke about Batim that are on the seashore. Now we're talking about a whole city that's on the seashore. And Im Yesh Lefaneha Daka. If he sets up a barrier, you see, a seashore city is always exposed, is always vulnerable to an inundation. Unless it puts up a mechitza, which is called a daka, as a kind of a dam that will prevent the water from flooding the city. What is the minimum size of this daka? It's arba amos, four amos high. And you and I know that normally a mechitza only has to be 10 tfachim high. Here's a mechitza that's 4 amos high. But if they do set it up, is modin in law misfas hanachal? It's like any other city that we calculate the 2,000 amos from the outskirts of the city. The imlab, but if they didn't set up a mechitza, a daka, to separate the water from the city, ein modid in la el mi pesach beso. Every single individual resident in that city will calculate his own 2,000 amos. And the reason for this is because if they didn't set up this daka, this mechitza, then at every moment the residents in the city are afraid that maybe the flood, the waters of the river would flood the city, and their houses would go underwater. And therefore, we have what's called the Yeshivas Aroi. That's not a permanent residence, but a temporary residence. And they have the halacha of what's called Yoshvei Bitzrifim, which is a gemara that we learned back on Daf Nun Heyam and Beis, if you remember. And Yoshvei Tzrifim, people who live in little huts here and there, they're not part of one city, and we cannot set up a tchum around the boundaries of the city, but each person is a city of, you know, is a house on its own, and from the threshold of his house, he'll have to calculate 2,000 amma. Omalei Abaye, Daka Arbabios Amrit La'ala, you told us that this mechitza has to be 4 amos high to separate between the city and the river, so that we can now calculate Alpayim amma from the outskirts of the city. He says, Maishnami called Daki the Alma Darbat Fachim. Normally, and this we had back on Daf Samach, in the case, you remember with the Chutz and the Merpeses, you had a two-story house, and on the top floor, on the upper floor, there was a Merpeses, and if the Anshi Merpeses set up a Daka, that would give them the rights to carry into the Chutz without having to set up an Erev with the lower floor. In any event, the word Daka, and that terminology indicates something that's 4 tfachim high. And now, why are you requiring a mechitza of 4 amos? Omaleis, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye, Hasam, in the case of Emir Peset, lo be'isa tashmishte. The people living on top are not afraid to use their place. They don't need a machitza, they only need a heker to set up a hefsek between the merpeset and the chatzar below. And for that, all they need is a machitza for tvach. Hacha, but here with regard to a city that's on the seashore, be'isa tashmishta, they're afraid to really live in the city, because at any moment, chas v'sholem, there could be a flood in the city, and therefore they need a machitza that's four amos high to protect the water from inundating the city and making it into, as we said before, a diras keva. Amar Rav Yosef mina midale, from whence did I derive this conclusion? That if we set up a daka, we're going to be able to calculate the tchum from the outer boundaries of the city. The sanya we learned in the Brisa Hita, Rebbe, Shehu b'nei Gader, there was a city by the name of Gader, and Rebbe allowed the residents of that city that was located on the top of a mountain, Yardim Le'ir Chamson, there was a lower city at the feet of the mountain, which is called Chamson. Rebbe allowed the people from the top, which is called Gader, to go down on Shabbos to Chamson. But we're going to soon see that Rebbe did not allow the people of Chamson to climb and ascend up to the city of Gader, my taima. Lav mishum dahani avud daka. Vahani lo avud daka. In other words, when you're on top of a mountain, there's always a fear that chas v'shalom, somebody could fall down. And that's obviously, dangerous beyond words. So what do? The people on top in Gader set up a mechitza at the feet, at the bottom part of their city, around this mountain. And that mechitza, it's like you've seen when you go on highways in a mountainous area. They cover the mountain with a very large net, gigantic mega net, so that if chas v'shalom any of the rocks get loose, they would be caught in this net and they wouldn't fall on top of the cars that are driving up this mountain. So here also, in the Nimshal, in order to give them a sense of security in their city, they had to build this machitza, and that would prevent anyone from falling down. And therefore, they have a status of a city like any other city that's keva, that is secure and is permanent. And therefore, we can calculate the tchum of Alpayim Amah from the outer walls of the city. And Chamson, at the bottom of this mountain, was within 2,000 Amah of the walls of the city of Gader. And therefore, Rebbe allowed them to descend. However, the Bnei Chamson, they didn't make a mechitza on the bottom of their city. And apparently, what I told you before was not exact. I mean, I said that the city of Chamson was actually at ground level. That's not true. It was lower on the mountain than Gader, but it was still a drop. And therefore, since they didn't build a daka, a mechitza, at the bottom of their city, therefore they are like the Yoshvei Tzrifim, who the din is that each one of the Yoshvei Tzrifim has to calculate his own 2,000 Amah. But if that be the case, then we cannot allow the city of Chamson access to the city of Gader, but rather everyone individually, every house owner will calculate his 2,000 Amah from his house. In any event, we see clearly from Rebbe, who is Mati the Bnei Gader, to go down to Chamson, he did not allow the Bnei Chamson to climb up to Gader, that a city that's on the seashore likewise needs this mechitza to generate a sense of security and protection to protect the inundation of the water. And then we can allow them to calculate the Alpayim Amah from the outskirts or the wall that surrounds the city. Kiyosa Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar. He had a different transmission of Rebbe with regard to the cities of Gader and Chamson. He thought that they were at battle one with each other. He says, Tat Ruge mitartage mitatrige lahu. B'nei Godel b'nei Chamsa. When the B'nei Chamsan would climb up to the B'nei Godir, the B'nei Godir saw it as an invasion, and they would go out and start beating them up. So therefore, Rebbe made a takana that the B'nei Chamsan should not climb up to the B'nei Godir. Now, what does this have to do with Shabbos? So Gemara immediately objects, Umay hitir, what does it mean that Rebbe allowed this to go on? This was just a takana to avoid this kind of, very serious, aggressive altercation. So the Gemara answers, change the girsa, and it should say not Hitir Rebbe, but Hiskin Rebbe. This was an enactment of Rebbe. So now the Gemara asks the basic question, Vaishnav Shabbos, why did Rebbe make this enactment that the B'nai Chamsun are not allowed to go up to the city of Gadir, because that would, flare up a fire, a battle, a war on Shabbos? I mean, even during the week, he should be afraid that maybe the B'nai Chamsun, if they go up to the B'nai Gadir, they're going to get smashed. And the Gemara answers, the Shchicha Bas Shichrus. Now, I honestly don't understand this Gemara too well, but the Gemara says that people got drunk on Shabbos. Maybe it means that they in the celebration of Shabbos, they would drink wine, and they weren't 100% lucid. They were intoxicated. The Gemara says if you drink a revius of yayin, and you're a kohen, you don't duchen. So that was the situation. Now, because the B'nai Gadir, like any good Jewish community, were drinking wine, they lost their inhibitions. They lowered their discipline. And therefore, when the B'nai Chamsun would climb up, they would see it as an invasion of some sorts, of trying to take over the city, and therefore they would come out and battle against them. And that happened on Shabbos, because Shabbos Shchicha Bei Shichrus. So Rebbe found it necessary to make this enactment that the B'nai Chamsun on the bottom should not go up on Shabbos to the B'nai to the Gadir, because the B'nai Gadir were dangerous as a result of their intoxication. The Gemara now asks, well, how did Rebbe and his takana help the situation? Ki azli l'hasam nami mitatrige lehu. Well, this should be a mutual enmity. And allowing the B'nai Gadir to come down to the Chamsun on Shabbos is also a very dangerous proposal, because the B'nai Chamsun are going to see the B'nai Gadir as a threat and as an invasion. And the Gemara answers with a mashal, an idiomatic phrase, Kalba b'lo masya shav shanin lo novach. When a kelev, when a dog is not in his city, even for shav, meaning 7 years, shav shanin, he doesn't bark. In other words, he doesn't feel comfortable, and he doesn't feel like a big shot when he's outside of his safety zone. And this is a mashal. The intention here is that the B'nai Gadir, when they go down to the B'nai Chamsun, they're out of their city. And in such a case, Eino makim es B'nai Chamsun l'fi she'enem argishim betuchim, they will not start up with the B'nai Chamsun. Now it seems from this Gemara that the more aggressive residents were those of Gadir. If we could neutralize their aggression in a case where they're not secure in their own home, they're in a different city where the kelev would not bark, then we've solved the problem. So we're not afraid that the B'nai Chamsun would be so aggressive that they would start beating up the B'nai Gadir. So the Gemara asks, I don't get it. If the B'nai Gadir don't feel secure when they get down to the city of Chamsun, is Hashanami mimatrege B'nai Chamsun B'nai Gadir? What did Rebbe assume? This would be naive on Rebbe's part to assume that only the B'nai Gadir are the aggressive when they sense like a fear, a spider sense of an aggression, and not the B'nai Chamsun when the B'nai Gadir come down. And the Gemara answers, Kule hai lo kaifi lo. the Bnei Gader were not kfufim to the Bnei Chamsad. In other words, even when they were outside their city, they would still not. Just one second. Give me a second. So he says, no, that when the Bnei Gader came down to the Bnei Chamson, it would seem that. Just one second. The Bnei Gader were. I thought they'd say Kfufim. No, Ein Kfufim. Well, I say Ein Kfufim. Just one second. Afal Pishainim Omdu Be'ira Menimo Wenjin. It seems that although they didn't feel secure, the Bnei Gadol, when they were in Chamson, but nevertheless they still were in a defensive mode. And therefore that would inhibit the Bnei Chamson from starting up with them. So again, when the Bnei Chamson would climb up to the Bnei Gader, the Bnei Gader were absolutely uninhibited on a Shabbos. And they would start beating up the Bnei Chamson. But when the Bnei Gader came down the mountain, maybe they sobered up a little bit, they would definitely protect themselves. So kuli hai lo kaifile, meaning that they were not like lame ducks, which would encourage the Bnei Chamson to start beating them up and accusing them of hasogas gvul, as if they're invading their territory. The Bnei Chamson are still inhibited because the Bnei Gader still have their defenses up. They weren't like lame ducks, like, Kitzon Letevach Yuva. Now we have another explanation of why Rebbe Paskind the way he did with regard to the Bnei Gader and the Bnei Chamson of Safra Omar regarding Chamson Ir Hasuya Kekeshes Havi. The bottom city of Chamson was shaped like a bow, like a half a circle. And Rav Safra holds that this takana of Rebbe has nothing to do with shalom, with peace between two competing cities, but rather he was paskining about the laws of Tchumen. There's no proof whatsoever, according to Rav Safra, from this Brisa and this Takana of Rebbe towards the case of the city on the seashore. Here we're paskening a law in Tchumen, and the reason here has nothing to do with Dako, with setting up a Mechitza, but rather the city of Chamson was organized and structured as a Keshes, as a bow. And between the two ends of the cities was more than 4,000 amah. And in such a case, each resident has to calculate for himself the tchum. You can't use that yeser, if you remember that was the imaginary line that took you from one end of the keshes to the other end of the keshes. Everyone has to go out into the threshold of his house and calculate 2,000 amah. Now, this keshes, in the case of the city of Chamson, was very far away from the city of Gader. And therefore, the residents of Chamson were not permitted to walk to the outskirts of the city of Gader because it was already beyond 2,000 amah. On the other hand, the city of Gader was not a round city, a keshes, but rather it was an ir merubas. It was a square city. And the halacha is that they could measure that chum Shabbos from the wall of the city. Not so in the case of Chamson. So therefore, the entire city of Chamson was completely within the overlap of the 2,000 amah from the walls, the outer walls of the city of Gader, and therefore what Rebbe established was that the Bnei Gader are allowed to walk throughout the city of Chamson, but the Bnei Chamson cannot go into the city of Gader because that's beyond the 2,000 amah. In the case of a keshes, which there's 4,000 amah plus between one side of the keshes and the other. So according to Rav Safra, this takana of Rebbe had, or psak of Rebbe had nothing to do with, you know, security and setting up a mechitza to protect you from the inundation of the waters. Rav Dimi bar Chinino amar anshe ir gedola v'anshe ir ktana hafi. That the reason why Rebbe was matir the Bnei Gadir to go down into Chamson, but he prohibited the Bnei Chamson to climb up to the Gadir, to the city of Gadir, is because Gadir was a large city, Chamson was a small city, and when the Bnei Chamson would leave that city to go towards Gadir, then their 2,000 Amma would terminate in the middle of the city of Gadir. And we already learned before, Daf Samach Amid Beis, that you cannot consider the entire city as one indivisible four amos, and they can't go beyond the tchum where they ended up. And here they ended up in the middle of the city of Chamson. But the Bnei Gadir, when they would leave their city towards Chamson, the entire city of Chamson was within the tchum of Alpayim Amma, from the end of the city, the walls of the city around Gadir. And therefore, we said before that if you have a smaller city that's muvla, that's within the tchum of Alpayim Amma, then the entire of a larger city, then the entire smaller city is considered like four amos. And therefore, the Bnei Gadir would be allowed to go from one end of the city of Chamson to the other end of the Simsa. Again, Rebbe was not generating an Iser on Chamson to go to Gadir. All he meant to say that he was matir, the Bnei Gadir, to go throughout the entire city of Chamson as if it was all Dalet Amos. But he wasn't matir, the Bnei Chamson, to go throughout the city of Gadir as if it was one entity of Arba Amos, but rather only to the place where the 2,000 Amma would terminate. Okay, now the Gemara gives off as a machlokas Amoraim about Rav Safra and Rav Dimi. Rav Kana Masli Hochi, what we had until now in presenting the views of Rav Safra and Rav Dimi respectively was the explanation of Rebbe according to Rav Kahana, but Rav Tavyume, he had a different transmission of the machlokas between Rav Safra and Rav Dimi regarding Rebbe's takana. Masli Lei is Masli Hochi. He had a different, he said, Rav Safa, a different transmission. Rav Safa of Dimi Bar Chinina wanted to know why Rebbe was matir for Bnei Gadir to go down, and he asked the Bnei Chams to go up. Chad Omer, according to one, Ir Asuya Kikeshes Havi, and therefore the Bnei Chamson could only go straight up from their residence. They would not reach the city of Gadir. Whereas the city of Gadir, again, just to review, was a square city, and therefore you can count 2,000 Amma from the outskirts of the city. And the question is that the Anshe Ir Gdola, since the Ir Ketana was Muvlas, they could carry throughout the Ir Ketana. Now we start the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Aleph, Omer Aleph. Anshe Ir Gdola Mahalchim is called Ir Ketana. The Anshe Ir Ketana Malchim is Kol Ir Gedola Ketzad. Misha Yador Be'ir Gedola V'nosan Esei Ru Be'ir Ketana. Be'ir Ketana Nosan Eru Be'ir Gedola Mahalach Es Kula V'chutzula Apayimam. So that if you are part of one city, but you put your Eruv in another city, then the entire city becomes one entity of Dalet Amos, and you calculate the Alpayim Amma outside the outskirts of the city. Mashenkein, if you left the Eruv in your own city, then any other city is just considered more of the calculation of Alpayim Amma. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein lo ela mimokom eruvo Alpayim Amma. Even if one city places its Eruv Tchumen in another city, we're not going to consider that second city where the Eruv was placed as Arba Amos. But rather, we have to calculate Alpayim Amma of Tchum within that city, even though he set up his Erev in that city. Omalem Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, arguing against the Chacham, said to them, Iatem modim li binosei neiruvo bima'ora. Don't you agree that in the case where somebody put his Erev in his ma'ora, ein lo elami mokame ruvo alpayim amma, we're not going to allow him to carry the entire length of the cave inside the roof of the cave, and then start the Alpayim Amma outside the cave. We're not going to consider the Ma'ara as if it was Arva Amos. And that's a case of someone who is Hiniyache Ruvo B'Ma'ara. Yet we're going to simply calculate Alpayim Amma, calculate from the Eruv. So why don't you agree to me that even if one city puts its Eruv in another city, we cannot consider that city where the Eruv is being hosted as one continuous indivisible city of four Amos? Amrullah, the Chacham say, yeah, we agree that if you put the Eruv inside the Ma'ara, then we don't consider the entire Ma'ara as four Amos, but Emosai b'zman shein bo diyurin. That's only because there are no residents in the Ma'ara. Aval yesh ba diyurim. If, let's say, you had a cave and there were people living inside the cave, then Ma'alchis Kula, the entire cave, would be considered four Amos. And therefore, you'd start calculating the 2,000 Amma out of the Ma'ara, Chutzalah, Alpayim, Amma. And therefore, in our case, when you have two cities, so obviously the second city where he left his Erev has Diurim, it's a residential city, and therefore the entire city is considered like four Amos. Nimtza comes out according to the Chachamim, Kal Tocha Me'al Gaba. The inside of the Ma'ara is more lenient than the roof on top of the Ma'ara. Why? Because when he puts his Erev inside the Ma'ara, if there are residents who live in that cave, the cavemen we'll call them, then that law is going to be more lenient than if a person who puts his Eruv on top of the Ma'ara. If he puts the Eruv inside the Ma'ara, then the entire Eruv is four Amos, and then we start calculating Alpayim Amma beginning with the end of the Eruv. But if, on the other hand, he puts his Eruv on top of the Ma'ara, outside the Ma'ara, then we don't consider the Ma'ara as four Amos. We're going to calculate and measure 2,000 Amos from the exact location of the Eruv. The Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, and this is a halacha which is universally accepted. Lemodet, a person who sets up his Eruv outside the city, or he is kona shvisa outside the city, so he calculates 2,000 Amos, and he goes into the city. Sha'amru nosilo alpayim amma. We give him 2,000 amma in each direction from the makom shviso, from the eruv. And here the chacham amodu to Rabbi Akiva shafil sof midasa kola b'ma'ara. Even if the end of the 2,000 amma is inside a ma'ara, it's not going to be considered one continuous dalet amos, and that's because there are no diurim. And the Chacham only disagree with Rabbi Akiva in the case of two cities, and there the Chacham are going to consider the entire city, since it's a residential city, as four Amos. And here we turn to Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shavas Be'ir Chareva. What happens to a city that's desolate, it's in ruins, and this person, before the onset of Shabbos, wants to be kona shvisa in this city? There's no one living in the city. And Shmuel says, l'rabbanon, according to the Chacham in our Mishnah, mahalichas kula. He's allowed to consider the entire city, even though there are no residents in the city, as dalet amos. And that's against everything that we said. Bechutzalah alpayim amma, and then he calculates 2,000 amma outside the boundaries of the city, the outer bounds of the city. Hineyach eseruvo be'ir chareva. However, in contrast, if he put his eruv down inside the city that's in ruins, is then ein lo mimakom eruvo ella alpayim amma. Will only allow him 2,000 amma in each direction from the place where he left the Eruv. In other words, the city itself, since it's in ruins, is not considered Arba Amos. And yet, in the first case, Ir Chareva, according to Shmuel, the Rabbanu would hold that the entire city is considered Arba Amos. So what's the difference between the two cases? The first case, he considers the city as Arba Amos, he calculates Alpayim Amah outside the bounds of the city. And in the second case, no. Because he put his Erev inside the Ir Chareva, then all of a sudden the Chachom Amodah to Rabbi Akiva that Ein Lo Mimakom Eruvel Alpayim Amah, we don't consider the city itself to be Alpayim Amah. So here, Rashi tells us, Shekein lo omru chachom shehanosein eruvo be'ir nasei sikar v'amas ela be'ir miyusheves. So this halacha that when you put your eruv tchumen inside the city, the entire city is considered arba amas, that doesn't apply to a non-residential city. And that we saw when we learned the Mishnah, it says, Eimoseb is manchein bo diurim. So in Ir Chareva, the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Akiva. Now, in what case did the Reisha of Shmuel's establish that the Ir Chareva is considered as one entity of Arba Amos? So it would seem, and I'm going to say this right now on a temporary basis, that it all depends upon mechitzos. Then in the first case, the city has mechitzos. In the second case, it does not. We'll get back to this bulineder a little bit later. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Echad Shavas, V'Echad Iniach, whether he's living in the ruined city, or he just places his Erev in the city, is Mahalech, according to Chachamim, Es Kula, the entire city is considered Arba Amos, V'Chutzal Arba Amos. So there's machlokas now between Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar with regard to the Chachamim in a case of a person who puts his Erev down in an Ir Chareva, an Ir that is not residential, it's in ruins. Do we consider it as if he was Shoves and the entire city is called one entity of Arba Amos? Or do we say that in this case, the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Akiva that we don't consider the non-residential city, the Ir Chareva, as an ear that he was shoveis throughout the city, and we're not going to start calculating the Alpayim Amah outside the bounds of the city. Meisve, now we have a kash on Rabbi Elazar. The Mishnah says, "Amar lehem Rabbi Akiva, iatem modim li bin nosin es iruv ma'ora she'ein lo makom eruvo mi makom eruvo el Alpayim Amah." That since the ma'ora is not residential, therefore, we don't consider it like a city, and the entire city is for Amos. Omrulo, Amosai bisman shein bo diurit. Now, the Mishnah is saying that the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Akiva, and they said that in the case of the Ma'ara, no one's living in the Ma'ara, and therefore the Ma'ara does not have the status of an ear of Arba Amos, but if there were people, residents living in the Ma'ara, then when he puts his Erev in the Ma'ara, the entire Ma'ara is considered Arba Amos. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. Habi ein ba diurim module. It's obviously crystal clear that the Chachamim, in the case of ein ba diurim, agreed to Rabbi Akiva. And even though he put his Erev there in that city, it's not a city that has residents in it, and therefore he only gets Alpayim Amah from the place that he leaves his Erev. And that makes sense according to Shmuel, who says that Hiniach es Eruv b'ir chareva is ein lo mimakom Eruvel Alpayim Amah. So we have here a clear-cut brisa that records the Shita Chachamim the way Shmuel understood the Shita Chachamim against Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara rejects it. No proof from this Mishnah. Why not? My, what does it mean when the Mishnah says Modim Chachamim Rabbi Akiva Ein Ba Diurin? It means Ein Ra'uyel Adira. It means that this city is in ruins and its mechitzos have fallen down. And that's the case where even if he sets up his makom shvisa in that city, if there are no mechitzos around the city, then the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Akiva's position that we're not considering the city as Dalet Amos. But if the Eruv was placed in a city, or for that matter, a Ma'ara, which has Mechitos, then the Chachamim would judge that city and categorize it as Arba Amos, even if there's no one living in the city, but it's Roy Ladira, and that's because it has Mechitos. I seem to recall when I was in South Africa, I was only once in South Africa, we were traveling and we actually saw cities that were in ruin. Anyway, some of the locals had taken up residence in those cities. Toshma, the Gemara now wants to bring a question on Rabbi Loza from a Braisa. And a proof to Shmuel, the Braisa says, Shavas be'ir, afilu hi gdola ke'antochia b'ma'ora, afilu hi ke'ma'ora tzidkia be'l Yehuda, ma'alech es kula, ve'chutzal arba amos. Now, what's the deal over here? Are we talking about an ir chareva? When it says Antochia, well, this Braisa combines Antochia with Ma'ara in one breath. So the Gemara analyzes this. K'tani, it mentions in this Braisa a city and a cave together, and we should equate the two by analogy. Ir Dumya de Ma'ara, the city is like the Ma'ara. Ma Ma'ara Chareva, and we're referring to the Ma'or of Tzidkio Melech Yehuda, which was 18 mil long. Shneimasar mil. Ma'or Gedola. And that's where Tzidkio, the king of Yehuda, tried to run away as a fugitive from the Kazdim, who took over at the time of the Churban Yerushalayim. And all this is described in Paraklamites of Sefer Yirmiyo. And this Ma'ara was Chareva. Is Af'ir Chareva. And yet, the Braisa says, Shovas in, if he was Shoves in this city, or in the Ma'ara Chareva, then the entire city or the entire Ma'ara is considered Arba Amos, Aval Hiniach. If he places his Eruv, but he's not in the city, he's not living in the city, he's not spending Shabbos in the city, lo, then we wouldn't consider the city as for Amos, even though it has Mechitzos, and even though he put his Erev there, but rather we calculate 2,000 Amo of the Tchum. And this Braisa is going to support Shmuel. Mani, because who's the author of this Braisa? Ilem Rabbi Akiva. If it was Rabbi Akiva, Ma'ir Chareva Afilu Yesheva Nami. Rabbi Akiva went as far as saying that if a person puts his Eruv in a residential city, he's not allowed to go more than 2,000 Amos from the place of his Eruv. The city is never defined as 4 Amos. And here in this Braisa, we define the city as 4 Amos. Mahalach is Kula. El Allah, therefore, by process of elimination, we have to assume that this Braisa reflects the Shita Rabbanon. And they hold that if you put the Eruv into a city that's a residential city, he's allowed to walk throughout the entire city, Arba Amos. And now we can be Medagdeik from the language of the Braisa, according to the Chachamim, time of the Shavas in. The reason why he could walk throughout the entire city and consider it all, or the Yer Charev, as for Amos, is because Shavas Ba. Aval he niach, but if he put his Erev there and he wasn't Shoves, lo, we would not allow him to consider the entire city as 4 Amos. And this all reflects the Shita of Shmuel in the Chachamim, that only if he was Shoves Be'ir, then the entire city is considered 4 Amos. But the fact that he put his Erev there, that's not enough. So Gemara rejects this and says, Lo tema ir dumya de ma'ara. We're not going to pull that methodological trick of dumya Ella Ema will say the opposite. Ma'ara dumya to ear. How do you know that we're comparing the ear to the ma'ara? Maybe we're comparing the ma'ara to the ear. Is my ear yeshiva just like a city? As a general rule, if we don't know otherwise, then we assume the city means a residential area. Is af ma'ara, the Bryce is talking about yeshiva. That there are people living in the ma'ara. Yeah, but if that be the case, the Chacham would hold the entire ma'ara as Dalet Amos. So the Gemara answers, U Rabbi Akiva hi. Vir Rabbi Akiva, the Braisa reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva, the Omar Ein Lo Mimokam Eruva El Al Paim Amo. Even within a city, we don't consider the entire city as four Amos. Ubeshavas Mode. If there is a residential city, and he sets up his residence for Shabbos, he's called a Shvisa, in that city, even Rabbi Akiva would concede to the Chacham that the entire city is considered like four Amos. And we would not have a proof from this price as far as the Machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Lozu is concerned. The Gemara now asks the Kasha, how could this Braisa be talking about a Ma'ara Miyusheves V'hakim Ma'ara Tzidkio Katani? We know that the cave of Tzidkio was completely in ruins. No one was living there. That's why he felt he could find, as a fugitive, find refuge there. And the Gemara answers, the Braisa doesn't mean to equate Ma'ara Sheshavas Ba to the Ma'ara of Tzidkio from A to Z, from soup to nuts. But rather, kima'ara tzidkio v'lo kima'ara tzidkio. There's a certain element of overlap. Kima'ara tzidkio gedola. It's a very large area. As we said before, it was 12,000 mil. It was 12 mil. But v'lo kima'ara tzidkio d'ilu hasam chareva v'hacha yeshiva. The ma'ara of tzidkio was chareva. We're talking about, in this price, a case of Ma'ara Miyusheves. And that's why the entire Ma'ara is considered Dalet Amos. Here's a Maisa Shahoya regarding this Machlokas Rabbi Kiva Chacham Mar Yehuda Ashkechinu Libnei Mavrachta. He met up with the members of the city of Mavrachta to come Mosvi Eruvayu Bebe Knishta Debe Agover. Okay, there was a synagogue that was outside the city of Mavrachta. And that's where they put their Eruv, in that Beit HaKnesset. It was a very large synagogue, and it was within the Tchum of Alpayim Amma of the city of Mavrachta. Now, why do I mention that this synagogue was so large? Because the distance between the entrance to the synagogue and the other extreme end, going away from the city of Mavrachta, was a very large distance. Now, when the Bnei Ha'ir put the Eruv down inside the synagogue, they weren't medagdik, they weren't careful to put it at the other end of the Beis HaKnesses, because they accepted the Shita of the Chachamim, that if you have an area that's surrounded by mechitzos, then it's the entire area is considered Arba Amos. And he can go 2,000 Amos in any direction from outside of those mechitzos. And therefore, even in their mindset, even if they would leave the Erev at the entranceway into the synagogue, nevertheless, they would still get the entire synagogue as Dalet Amos. Amar lahu, but Rav Mar Yehuda said, Gevu Beit Fe. Gevu means to go penetrate deeper, meaning go inside the shul, all the way to its depth, to the end of the shul, and that's where you should leave the Erev Gehech Nilishtri Lechu Tfe. So you'll get a greater distance of 2,000 Amma from the end of the, from the place where he left the Erev at the end of the city. In other words, Mar Yehuda did not accept the position of the Chachamim that the entire synagogue would be considered as one Dalet Amos. And therefore, if you left, but rather he accepted Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that if you leave your Erev in a Makom Mukaf Mechitzos, unless that's the place you're living, then we don't give you Dalet Amos. So therefore, he recommended that they would be well advised to leave their Erev at the end of the Beis HaKnesses. Then they'll get much more of a tchum. If the Beis HaKnesses is 1,000 amma wide, they'll get an extra 1,000 amma on that side. Amalei Rava, so Rava turns to Bar Yehuda and he says, Palga, you are arguing against the Chachamim. Be'erevin lesle dechash lahadar Rabbi Akiva. We have a principle in Erevin alocha kedivrei amekel be'erum, and therefore we don't have to worry about the shita of Rabbi Akiva. We can rely on the shita of the Chachamim, and we don't have to be marchik the Erev to the end of Beis HaKnesses, even if they would leave the Erev at the beginning of Beis HaKnesses, the entire Beis HaKnesses, like the Shita of Chacham, is considered like one Arba Amos, and we will calculate the Alpaim Amma from the end of the Beis HaKnesses. And that ends the fifth Perek, Perekates of Ma'arvin, and leads us here to Daf Samaf Beis, which is the beginning of the new Perek Hadar Im Ha'akum, here on the bottom of Daf Samaf Aleph, Ahmed B.